Well, hello there, and welcome to the County Conversation, a podcast featuring employees and subject matter experts from the Fairfax County government discussing programs, services, and items of interest to residents of Fairfax County. I'm your host, Jim Person, and today on this edition of The Conversation, I'm chatting with Ayan Ali. She is victim advocate on the Domestic and Sexual Violence Services Advocacy Team within the Department of Service of Family Services, and she's here to talk to us all about protective orders. But as we begin, I would like to recognize her as a 2023 recipient of the Fairfax County Juvenile and Domestic Relations District Court Partner Award for her work as an advocate, which entails meetings with clients when they're filling out protective orders, completing their safety plans, and linking clients to resources. That, of course, however, doesn't adequately or fully describe how she supports the people truly impacted by interpersonal violence. So, Ayan, first of all, congratulations on that award, and thanks for being on the podcast with us today.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely. A pleasure. Looking forward to the conversation. It's not a fun topic or an enjoyable topic or a light topic, but very important topic that I think we should get into.
Absolutely.
So, first of all, we're talking about protective orders for domestic and sexual violence. Let's start with a basic question, if you can. What is a protective order?
Of course. A protective order, also known as a restraining order, is a court order prohibiting the person who caused harm from abusing the victim and having contact with the victim or having limited contact with the victim. There are other things, obviously, that are included in that protective order, and we can go into details later, but basically that's what a protective order is. It's also known as, like I said, a restraining order.
So the terms are interchangeable. When you hear restraining order, it's the same thing, and when you hear protective order, it's the same thing.
It is, exactly.
Okay, all right. You mentioned some of the things that go into a protective order or restraining order. What are those things?
Absolutely. So the petitioner is the person filing for the protective order, and the respondent is the person against the protective order. So the petitioner can ask for no further act of abuse, can ask for no contact or limited contact. Of course, depending on their relationship as well, can ask for various other things such as temporary custody, possession of the home, or maybe residence where they both shared, pets if there are pets involved. Also prohibiting the respondent to not cut off utilities, for example, water, electricity, and such things. So, like, that's what I mean by various things.
But, oh, okay.
That's basic. Those are just the basic things. But again, depending on the person's situation, they can ask for more.
So, protective orders can be different in the things they cover. But a protective order itself is like the same thing, but there's maybe levels of a protective order, is what you're saying?
Absolutely. Levels meaning what type of protection the petitioner is asking for.
Okay. All right.
So a petitioner, first and foremost, probably is asking for no further act of abuse. The reason why to file for a protective order to begin with is because there's acts of abuse, there's acts of physical violence and threats of physical violence. So that's what the protective order is mostly about, protecting someone from harm, physical harm.
Right, gotcha.
And then the petitioner, the person filing for the protective order, can then ask for other things such as no contact or limited contact. And again, if there are children involved, they can add the children or ask for limited contact for the children as well.
Okay. We're specifically, you work for domestic and sexual violence. That's kind of our area we're talking about here, victim advocates. Does there have to be a police report or evidence of domestic violence, sexual violence? I guess criteria is not the right word, but is there any pre-qualifying things that have to happen, and are there things that have to be measured? In other words, like a police report to begin the protective order process.
Right. So anyone can file for the protective order. Uh-huh. However, yeah, there are things that could be grounds for a protective order. So there has to be, again, like I mentioned, the protective order is about physical violence or threats of physical violence. So the grounds for a protective order, there should be first that there is either a threat of physical violence or actual physical violence. And as far as what the petitioner or the person filing for a protective order needs to file for a protective order, it's just a matter of calling any of the agencies such as DVAC, Domestic Violence Action Center, or the main hotline, which is Fairfax County Domestic Violence Hotline, or the Juvenile Domestic District Court, and just getting the information how to file. And then they'll be connected to either an advocate or an intake officer at the Juvenile Domestic District Court. Mm-hmm. And then from there on, the folks will help them file for the protective order.
Okay. So multiple entry points, if you will, to get the process started.
Right. So maybe I should just start with the types of protective order, and then that way that might be easier to understand.
Mm-hmm.
So there are three types of protective orders.
Okay.
So there's emergency protective order, and then preliminary protective order, and then final protective order. So the emergency protective order is issued by a magistrate, and it can be requested by a police officer who responded to an incident of a domestic violence, or the victim themselves can go to the magistrate and request one for themselves. The emergency protective orders last only for 72 hours. And the idea is for, you know, the person that's requesting for that to have some time so that they can make their way to the court, or make their way to the Juvenile Domestic District Court so that they can file for a preliminary protective order, which lasts for 2 weeks, and then request for a final protective order, which lasts up to 2 years.
So I assume the three ones, emergency, preliminary, and final.
Yes.
Maybe the language or what's being asked for is different in each, or could be different in each?
Absolutely. So the emergency protective order can only prohibit someone from no contact, can ask no contact, or no further act of abuse. A person will not be able to ask for example, custody and things like that. The preliminary protective order, the petitioner can ask for no contact, can ask for no further act of abuse, can ask for possession of the home during the two-week period, can ask for possession of the vehicle that the parties are sharing, can ask for the utilities not to be cut off,
right.
Can ask for to stay away 500 feet or more,
right.
At least. So that's for the preliminary protective order.
Okay.
And then the final protective order, one can ask for further things such as temporary custody if there are children involved.
Okay.
They can ask for, again, all the other things that was asked for in the preliminary protective order.
Okay.
Sometimes a petitioner can also ask for temporary child support. And that could be, and then other, depending on, because it does have on the bottom, other, you know, it really depends on the judge
circumstances. Yeah. So the emergency protective order lasts for 72 hours, and if I'm understanding correctly, is really intended just to get that person out of harm's way.
Absolutely, yes. And so that there's some time, protected time that they can seek help, whether that is to extend that protective order for the 2 week protective order, or whether to get to safety, whether it's to get to shelter or to a family member that they can stay with, just to make sure that they have some time that they can arrange things so that they can be safe,
right.
And be connected, obviously, to services such as advocacy and such.
So you mentioned a police officer could actually start that process, I think. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Based on their responding to a call, the person could actually go to the courts, but could also call the domestic and sexual violence 24-hour hotline initiate that process. So how long does that initial process start? We need to talk emergency protective order first.
Mm-hmm.
How long does it take to get that?
Same day.
Wow. Okay.
Within hours.
Okay.
So, for example, if an officer, Fairfax County police officer, responds to an incident, whether or not they make an arrest, they can still make the decision to obtain an emergency protective order for the victim.
Okay.
And by just going to the magistrate and making that case, and the magistrate is the the person who grants that. And then they'll bring back that emergency protective order to the victim's home and escort the other person if they're not arrested.
Right.
And also if they're arrested, then it's part of the process where they will give an emergency protective order to the victim.
Oh, okay. All right. So the victim has their emergency protective order and they want to do, well, let me ask this question before I go there. Is there a percentage, or if you get an emergency protective order, are you likely to continue on to get a preliminary order, or is in your experience that emergency protective order may satisfy the situation or fix the situation? Does that make sense?
I understand, yes. So at the end of the day, it is obviously the judge's decision, but in my experience, when one has an emergency protective order, and it's often, and it's going to court to extend that protective order, mm-hmm. oftentimes they may get their preliminary protective order. But again, mm-hmm. it also depends on the judge, and it also depends on the information given to the judge.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, the judge has to make that decision based on what information they have from the victim,
right.
To make that decision.
So is there a scenario where there could be an emergency protective order, and that's it? It doesn't go any further based on information?
Right. So because the protective order, filing the protective order is a civil matter, so it's up to the person who's seeking the protective order. Mm. So they can either say, okay, the 72-hour protective order is enough for me, and they've made arrangements,
okay.
and they're safe, or they want to, most of the time, they want to extend it. And information will be given to them by either the police officer or the magistrate in terms of what to do next, whether or if they want to extend that protective
gotcha.
Order. So then they know whether to call the hotline, whether to call DVAC, Domestic Violence Action Center, or whether to call Juvenile Domestic District Court to get that process started. So they will be given that information.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
We're on the County Conversation podcast, and we're talking with Ayan Ali, a victim advocate with Domestic and Sexual Violence Services Advocacy Team. That's within the Department of Family Services. We're talking about protective orders. You mentioned the hotline a moment ago, but you didn't give us the number.
Oh, absolutely.
No, if you could, just give us the number.
Sure. Calling the Domestic Violence 24-Hour Hotline, that is 703-360-7273. And also, folks can also call DVAC, Domestic Violence Action Center, during business hours from 8 to 6:30 at 703-246-4573.
Okay, so a couple of numbers there. 703-246-4573 is DVAC.
It's DVAC.
Okay. And then the hotline, 24/7. 703-360-7273.
That's
correct. You've kind of walked us through some of the timing of the three different levels of protective orders. Are there steps involved for each, or I mean, is the process? I mean, how does the process vary? Or
so once the survivor, the victim, has a emergency protective order, and then mm-hmm. let's say they've spoken to someone, either a victim advocate or
right.
an intake officer from Juvenile Domestic District Court, and they've decided to go ahead and extend that emergency protective order. It's a matter of getting an appointment with Juvenile Domestic District Court. The advocates can help mm-hmm. that appointment, or just the victim themselves can call Juvenile Domestic District Court, and the number is 703-246-3040. They can call during business hours 8 to 4:30 to get an appointment to extend the emergency protective order.
Mm.
Once they make that appointment, once they call that number, they'll be screened by an intake officer. An intake officer is an individual that works for the Juvenile Domestic District Court who helps the victim with the court documents. So the intake officer will help get them an appointment. The appointment lasts about 2 hours.
Hmm.
They'll prepare the paperwork. The paperwork will be filed, and then they They have an option to write an affidavit and writing, you know, the facts of what happened to them and why they're asking for a protective order.
Gotcha.
They also have the option to see a judge in person that same day of the appointment. And then the judge will hear the facts of their situation and then will make a decision whether or not to grant them a preliminary protective order for 2 weeks.
Okay.
So that's that's the process.
A lot of stuff working behind the scenes and a lot of paperwork and I's you have to dot and T's you have to cross, et cetera.
Absolutely. And during their filing, we have DSVS, Domestic and Sexual Violence Services, have a dedicated advocate in Juvenile Domestic District Court office. That's myself.
Okay.
So I'm there every day meeting with folks who are extending their emergency protective order or filing the protective order for the first time. And the advocate's role is really to help them with the process. The advocates are not attorneys, so we cannot give legal advice. However, we can pretty much handhold them and help them with the process and accompany them to court as well and provide that emotional support and crisis intervention and connect them back to advocacy services where they can, receive other, depending again on their situation, receive other services such as counseling, case management, and so on.
You mentioned the services. I was going to ask about the resources. But
right.
You want to expand a little bit further on that, the resources and services you can provide?
Absolutely. So when I meet someone who's there to extend their emergency protective order, after helping them with the protective order, other things that we discuss is basically what their needs are, their immediate needs. Mm. So, for example, an immediate need might be a place to stay, and then the resource is helping them get into an emergency shelter, emergency domestic violence shelter. The resource could also be that they need some financial assistance. Maybe they need to pay the rent, or maybe they need money for food. So the advocate is there to help them find those resources within Fairfax County. We also, again, DSVS, as you know, provides counseling services. So we'll make sure that we'll make that referral to our referring the client to the counseling services. Again, really depending on their need, we're there to meet them where they're at and help them find the resources. The advocate's role is really help victims get access to resources. We're not able to provide some of these resources, but we're able to advocate on their behalf to get the resources depending on what they need, whether that's financial assistance or shelter to stay at, just that providing that support.
Right. Just being there, being a friendly face, I would imagine, for someone to talk to and have them some help or help guide through the system, it's got to be extremely valuable.
It is. And our role, besides, providing access to resources is also to help them navigate their own options. Mm-hmm. What are the options? What do they need? And one major thing that we also do often is safety planning. So we make sure that we're safety planning with them depending on their situation, but also based on the outcome of that protective order as well, because their safety plan is different before they file the protective order, and then their safety plan is different after they file the protective order. So we help them come up with a safety plan as well, and that's part of the crisis intervention, it's basically talking to them about what resources or needs they have and what do they need to be safe.
Right.
And that's basically what the options counseling is about.
Right. Well, I would just like to say thank you, because I know I couldn't be a victim advocate. It's just not in my makeup, my personality. It takes a special person to deal with that. So on behalf of all the listeners and myself, I just want to say thank you for your work and for the others that are doing the work of victim advocates. So thank you.
It's very rewarding work, and I love doing it.
Yeah. Couple of minutes left before our time is up. Are there any maybe misconceptions or things that people don't really understand about protective orders that you would like to clarify or expound upon?
Right. Oftentimes people are, fearful of going to court, and most importantly, they're fearful that no one is going to believe them. Because remember, the person that's done harm to them has always told them nobody's going to believe you. So, and now they have to go to court, and now it's a legal situation where they have to tell a judge a story that they think nobody's going to believe. And so that's basically the misconception. And oftentimes I let victims know that obviously as a victim advocate, I believe them and yeah. I validate their story.
Sure.
And I, you know, encourage them to continue to tell their story. And that's their story and that's it happened to them. Right. And that, even though it's even though they're going to court and they're asking a judge to grant them a protective order based right. on their word. So I try to let them know that it's, you know, it's okay and that we believe you. So,
right. How effective are protective orders in actually reducing domestic and sexual violence?
They're very effective. There are court orders, and if violated, the respondent or the person the protective order is against could be arrested and charged criminally. So, okay. because of that, it is effective. It deters from the person from making any contact or harming the victim again.
Okay. So there is some teeth to it.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is a court order. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
On the edge of our time, final thought, what haven't I asked you or something you want our folks to know, our listeners to know about protective orders?
Absolutely. Even though the protective orders are effective and they're court orders and they work, it also depends on that person's situation. The protective order is not the only option. There are other options to stay safe. So again, meeting with the victim advocate is, you know, what I recommend, highly recommend, only because that advocate is the person that's going to help navigate those options with the victim and just, you know, help decide what's best for them and their family.
Right. Give the final word to you. Can you give us those resources again for the hotline and maybe the
DVAC
number?
Yeah. So Fairfax County Domestic Violence 24-hour hotline is 703-360-7273. DVAC, Domestic Violence Action Center, is 703-246-4573. And the business hours are 8 to 6:30. And finally, Juvenile Domestic District Court, 703-246-3040. And also their business hours are 8 to 4:30.
And just a reminder, the hotline is 24 hours a day, so no worries about business hours.
Absolutely, yes.
703-360-7273. Ayan, thank you for being here and talking about this subject. It's extremely important, and I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. This was really good.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Ayan Ali with us. Thanks to her for being here. Thanks to you for joining us on the County Conversation Podcast. If you want to hear more conversations with Fairfax County's finest, be sure to follow us on soundcloud.com/Fairfax County, as well as our podcast webpage, fairfaxcounty.gov/podcast. County Conversation is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.